just in a spirit of prayer, let me invite you to hold on to this prayer. God, please pour out your love over my life. God, please restore to me the joy of your salvation. God, please bring your peace into and over me. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry for the impatience that has invaded the most important relationships in my life. God, I'm sorry for the lack of kindness that has marked too many of my interactions. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry when the goodness I want to walk in is replaced with harshness and bitterness and anger. God, I choose to live a life of thanks by choosing to live in faithfulness to my God and to my people and to my commitments. God, I choose to live a life of thanks by choosing to live a life of gentleness, regardless of the disappointments, regardless of the frustrations or confusions that intrude onto my life. God, I choose to live a life of thanks by choosing self-control when everything in me wants to lash out and demand my own way. But I can't. Not in my own strength, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Open a Bible, if you would, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to bring this series in for a landing. We've been talking about why can't I become the man God's called me to be? I know I'm not the man God wants me to be. Why can't I stop doing the things that I have been trapped by for so long? Why can't I break the chains? Why can't I come out of the sin that so easily entangles? Why can't I stop going to that website? Why can't I stop reaching for that comfort or that relationship? Why can't I stop? Why can't I start doing the things that I know would set me on a better trajectory? Why can't I bring about the changes in my life that I long to see brought about in my life? Why can't I get past some of the hurts? Why can't I get past some of the wounds and the injuries? Why can't I forgive? Why can't I be free? There's three big things that are true of me, and I think they're true of all of us on some level. Maybe you haven't named them. I invite you to see if this is not true for you. Just this inherent inability that I have to bring about the changes that I want in my life. I mean, I try. You try. And you can string together some good experiences, some good behavior. Why can't I grit my teeth and clench my fists? Why can't I become? There's this deep desire for my life to be different. You? I mean, this deep desire for the things that don't belong to be gone, this deep desire for the things that I long for to be true of me, this deep desire for life to be different, and my desperate need for God's help. God, I can't do it on my own. I can't do it without you. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tenacious enough. I don't have the stick-to-itiveness to. So we've been asking for the last couple of weeks, what is it you're trying to stop? Maybe you actually took me up on that invitation to just get a piece of paper. Or maybe open up a note on your phone and just write down, just name it. What is it you're trying to stop? What is it you're trying to be free of? Is it the smokes? Is it the booze? Is it the pills? Is it the relationships that don't belong in your life? Is it the website you keep finding yourself going back to? What is it that you can't seem to stop and yet your heart is desperate for you to stop? Paul said it. He said, I don't understand what I do. What I don't want to do, that's what I keep doing. What I want to do, I don't. What is it you're trying to start? What is the practice that if you could just build that into your life, if you could build it into your heart, you know it would set you up for a whole different life. What is it you're trying to start? Name it. What is it in you that needs to change? Is it your temper? Is it your fuse? What is it in you that needs to change? Name it. Name it. Because there's a power in naming it. There's actually a power in showing it to somebody that you trust to say, would you pray into this with me? Would you actually, when you see this working, would you remind me that I prayed for it? And when you see it not working, would you remind me what the desire of my heart actually is? But maybe you can't bring yourself to show it to anybody. The first step to even just name it is hugely powerful. What is it that you need to be healed of or you need to be free of? Who is it that you need to let off the hook? Or maybe, who is it that you know you need to go and seek forgiveness from? We've been talking about it. You can't just start with the what. You can't just start with the behavior. Because if you start with the behavior, anybody can behave when other people are watching, right? Anybody can behave for a little while. You can't start with the behavior. You got to start with the identity. You got to start with this realization that God made me to be more than this. You ever been disappointed in your own self? You ever had a time when it felt to you in your heart like, man, I just let God down? Let me give you a little theology. You were never holding God up, so you didn't let God down. God's not surprised when you fail. He's not. Everybody is surprised when I succeed, but God's not surprised when I fail. But there are times in my heart I just think, oh God, not again, right? Because I know that God made me for more than that. God made you for more than that. You got to start with the who. The love and the joy and the peace that God intends you to walk in, that God intends you to live in, that God intends to be the foundational truth about who you are. A man of love, a person of peace, a person who lives out of joy, genuine joy, not circumstances and events, but a joy that comes despite the circumstances and the events. And then you move on to the what. Then you move on to the behavior. And when it comes time to say, God, in Jesus' name, this day that has gone well, when my heart has been focused on you and attenuated to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, may I choose to become this person of faithfulness. I want to make a commitment and stick to it. I want to be a man of gentleness and I want to stick to it. I want to be a man who knows how to take my own life, right? By the horns, if I have to direct it, because God, this is the man I want to be. Yeah? So we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the things that God wells up in you. When like Jack's favorite, you know, he is the vine, we are the branches. When you find yourself with your roots sunk deeply into Jesus, what is the fruit that comes out at the fingertips of your life? It's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Read it with me, would you? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want us to land the plane with the title of a book I recently read. I don't know if you ever kind of befriend the authors who become important to you. Mark Batterson, I've been reading a lot of his books lately. His most recent book is called Please, Sorry, Thanks. And honestly, the title is better than the book. Not really. It's a good book. It's a good book. And it honestly has nothing to do with the sermon. But I love the title. Please, Sorry, Thanks. When you're teaching it to your kids, what'd you call them? Magic words, right? They're magic words. Because please opens doors, right? Please open the door. When you really want something, say please. When you really, really want something, say pretty please, right? Please opens doors. Please softens the heart of the person you're asking of. Please opens doors. Sorry builds bridges, doesn't it? Sorry builds bridges. Sorry mends relationships. Sorry admits and then reaches beyond. And thanks creates a future. Thanks creates a whole new way to think and live and be. Please, sorry, thanks. Please, please, God, let me become a man of love. Please, God, pour out your joy over me. Please, God, please, please begin to work in me, right? If anyone is a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come. Please, Lord, let me be a man whose life is marked by your peace. We'll see it in a minute. A peace that passes understanding. Lord, let me become that kind of man. Please, please, God. I find myself praying that prayer a lot lately because I'm right here in this series with you. I'm right here in this with you. Please, Lord, this is who I long to be. It's an emotional reaction. It's a visceral reaction. It's a gut reaction. Lord, this is who I want to be for real. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When the patience I wanted to walk in, when I find myself yet again tripped up by my impatience, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry when the kindness that I wanted to respond out of, instead of responding out of kindness, I react with harshness or with bitterness. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry when the goodness that I want to live in, that I want to be the soil that my life is planted in goodness, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When I build my foundations on shifting sand, God, I'm sorry. Because God, because of what you've done, because of what you've done yesterday, today, and will do forever, I want to respond in gratitude to you by living a life of thanks, by living a life, right, of faithfulness. Because God, I want to promise you some things on a Sunday morning. And then I want to live them out on Monday. God, I want to promise my wife some things in the context of a moment of shared intimacy that I live out when I'm out in the rest of the world. God, I want to be faithful to you and to my people and to my commitments. God, I want to live a life of gentleness. There's a line, we'll see it in a minute. Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Because we were just talking, right? You never know who's watching. You never know what eyes are going to see when your life is shaken, what spills out. Let my gentleness be evident to all. And Father, if that means taking my life by the horns, taking the reins in hand and directing my own heart back to those commitments, back to that faithfulness, back to that gentleness, Lord, in Jesus' name, that's the man I long to be. And so that gentleness brought me to this recollection in my mind. I knew there was a place where Paul said, let your gentleness be evident to all. It's in Philippians. It's in Philippians chapter 4. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And when I went there, I just kept reading. I just kept reading because I thought, wow, there's this line where Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Isn't that what you're looking for? The secret? Because there's got to be a secret, right? Because some people seem to get it, and I never seem to. So they must know something I don't know. Somebody must have told them something that page got left out of my notebook. There's got to be a secret that somehow slipped through my fingers. I was praying about this. I was praying about this. I was seeking the Lord about this because I don't want my Christianity to be a Christianity of secrets. I don't want my Christianity to be a Christianity of oh, you need to know the secret I know. I don't want my Christianity to be like that. And God told me this. God told me, He said, it's not a secret because anybody's kept it from you. It's a secret because you haven't sought it out. It's not a secret because somebody's hidden it from you. It's a secret because you haven't gotten hungry enough to reach for it like a starving man, to reach for it like a parched, dry heart. It's not a secret because it's hidden. It's a secret because it just takes a long time for people like you and me to get desperate enough to take the desperate measures of saying, please, and I'm sorry. And I want to live a life of thanks, right? And so I just started reading there, and I'm going to take you to Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Paul says this. He says, look, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know participation in his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death so that somehow I can attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained all this. Not that I've already attained all this or have arrived at my goal, but I want to press on. I want to press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to press on to know Christ. I want to take hold. I want to make some choices that I'm going to put some feet to. I want to make some choices that I'm going to exert some power over. I want to decide, and then I want to live out of that decision. I want to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. I want to forget what's behind. Don't you want to forget what's behind? I saw a precious friend of mine on Facebook had a little meme this morning. It just had this picture of a page in a book. It said, the moral of the story is some stories just don't have a happy ending. And it broke my heart for my friend because I just wanted to say, this is not the end of the story. I just wanted to say, this chapter may not have had a happy ending, but this is not the end of the story. The story is bigger than that. The story can be rewritten. The story doesn't have to stay stuck. That's what people do when they go through. Open that door, would you? When people go through the water of baptism and this picture, buried to the old life, raised in newness, there's this picture of there's just some stuff that's been clinging onto me, and I want to leave it under this water. I don't want it following me for the rest of my life. There's something in me that's pictures in that water. If you could see all of the mess that has come unstuck from people's lives in that water. And if only you could live free of what was, pressing on, taking hold, attaining that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I love it when he says, only let us live up to what we already know. Can I tell you something? I know people, I have friends, they love Jesus. They're following hard after Jesus. They're just on this constant search for the next Bible study. This constant search for the next video series or the next band to follow or the next pastor to listen to, the next podcast to lay hold of. They're constantly looking for. Can I tell you something? You already know. You already know what you need to know to go hard after Jesus. You don't need one more thing except to say, please, and I'm sorry. And God, out of gratitude, I choose to live this life. Only let us attain, let us live up to what we already know. He says this in Philippians chapter 4. I love it. In Philippians chapter 4 at verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And you may say, Rusty, I just can't. I've tried. I can't. I could, but I can't anymore. Not with what's happened. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Right? Let your gentleness be evident to all. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I love this part. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You've heard me say it before. It's a peace that doesn't even make sense. A peace which transcends all understanding. A peace that if you knew my circumstance, you'd be amazed at how calm I seem right now. A peace that doesn't even make sense in this moment. Because that's when you need peace the most, right? That's when peace is put to the test. a peace which passes all understanding that guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He goes on. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where you take the reins of your own life. This is where you grab your heart by the horns and you say, this far, no further, we're going this way. Whatever is good or right or true, excellent, praiseworthy, not whatever is the most binge-worthy thing I can find on Netflix. What are you filling your mind with? It's your choice. It's your choice what you fill your mind with. It's your choice what you feed your soul on. It's your choice where you go for comfort when you're in the most dark moment of your life. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to turn? You get to choose. You get to choose joy or not. You get to choose good, right, proper, excellent, praiseworthy, or not. You get to choose. You get to choose. And then he says this. He says, I've learned the secret. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I mean, isn't that what your heart is longing for? Lord, could I just know the secret? Could I just live content in any and every situation? Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And here's the secret. You've seen it on bumper stickers. You've seen it on t-shirts. You've seen it on medallions around teenagers' necks. Here's the secret. And it's the biggest open secret there is. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's not a secret because it's hidden from you. It's a secret because you haven't reached out and grabbed for it. It's not a secret because it's elusive. It's a secret. It's a secret because you have forgotten it. There's this verse that I've told you about before. It became one of the most foundational verses of my young life as a teenager. I could take you to the place where God met me in an altar and spoke this verse over my heart. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, the life I live in the here and now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The reason God spoke it over my heart all those years ago is because I was at the end of my rope. I had asked Jesus in my heart, but it just wasn't working. I saw people for whom it was working. I knew people whose lives were making sense, but mine wasn't. And I was praying a prayer that said something like this, God, I can't do this. And God, by his Holy Spirit, with his grace and with his mercy, God answered my heart and he said, you're right, you can't. But I can live this through you if you will let me. So, is this your prayer? God, please. God, please. Your love, your joy, your peace, God, please. Is this your prayer? God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry for the impatience. I'm sorry for the lack of kindness. I'm sorry when the goodness I want to walk in is replaced with harsh bitterness and anger. God, I'm sorry. Is it your heart to say, God, I've known your work before. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. God, I want to live a life of gratitude by choosing to live in faithfulness. I want to live a life of thanks by choosing to live a life of gentleness. God, in Jesus' name, I want to live a life of gratitude by choosing to live a life of self-control, to choose you, to choose joy, to choose life. When I was watching the sun come up this morning, I added to this prayer. Lord, please. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I want to live thankfully, but I can't. Maybe that's your prayer today. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? Maybe it's time for you to admit, to raise the white flag of surrender, to say, God, I'm sorry. I can't. I've tried and I've failed. I've sinned. I've sinned again and again. I've sinned the same sin again and again. And I'm sorry. And I need you. I don't deserve you, but I need you. I need you in my life. I need you in my relationships, Lord. I need you. Maybe you've heard that's the prayer of salvation. Maybe you say, I prayed that prayer years ago when I was a kid and it just didn't work for me. Maybe you need to pray it again. Now, I'm not trying to mess with your theology. I'm not trying to tell you you lost your salvation, but certainly you lost your way. And today's the day to come home, to come back,